The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's B-E-T-T-O-R fantasy.com/SGPN. And lastly, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at sobet.io/SGPN. That's SOBET.io/SGPN. And of course, before we begin the podcast, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-de-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 106. It's going to go out to all the ladies out there listening to this podcast. Over under 1.5 of them, we figure, are listening that aren't related to us, because this episode is all about the ladies. It's ladies' night on the MMA Gambling Podcast, because we're breaking down an all-female fight card later on today on this podcast, so. This goes out to all the ladies in the audience. The men can listen to if they choose. I would be your host. My name would be Jeff Hobocop Fox. I am one of the editors at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, as well as hosting this here podcast, and I run the MMA-manifesto.com. If you're listening to us on our MMA Gambling Podcast feed, thank you, because you're getting this podcast as soon as it drops. If you're not, if you could please subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, that would help us out with our numbers, plus it would get us in your ears even earlier every episode, which you definitely want to get us in your ears as soon as possible, so you can get some money down on our amazing picks, because my co-host is going to have some amazing picks today. He's going to go 6-0 on the Invicta fight card that's coming up this week. He guarantees it. Or I guarantee it on his behalf. Who would that co-host be? That would be the man known as the Mountain Man of Massachusetts. What else is he known as? He's known as Dano sometimes. You probably know him more often than not as Gumby. It would be Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, what's up? You know, so let's just get this straight to start. You're guaranteeing, despite the fact that my usual record when we talk about regional level cards, especially if there are 5 or 6 fights on it, is that I'm good for one loss on them. You're here guaranteeing that I'm not going to lose even one.
Yes, 6-0, Massachusetts.
You had a lot of trouble with that. That doesn't bode well for you as we begin to start saying fighters' names, too, which, by the way, there's one or
Zapatella.
Two. Yeah, Zapatella is one of the easier ones, actually. There's one or two on this fight card that I expect you to get wrong, so I'm looking forward to it.
Klizka.
Yeah, you're close enough. I'd have given you that one.
See, there's no one else really. Oh, is it Pwn or Pony?
That's the one.
You know what it is?
I do know what it is.
Probably Pony. It's probably Pony. Or Pony.
And you would be wrong on both of those guesses. It's just
not Pony. Elise Pony. I guarantee that's what it was originally. Now that now that the family is decades ago moved to North America, they probably changed it to Pwn.
It's Elise Pwn.
Because Americans don't know how to say Poney. Doesn't that sound like a French name, Elise Poney?
Yeah, when I looked at it, I 100% assumed that, and then I went back and watched her fight and heard, was it Julie Kedzie, I think, was announcing it. Julie Kedzie said Elise Pwn, and I was like, oh, I trust Julie Kedzie. She would know.
Well, she's American also, so I'm telling you, they Americanized it. I don't know anything about this girl, but I guarantee. I know she's fighting out of State College, Pennsylvania. Other than that, just like Cyril Gane is Cyril Gane, it should be, but he's Gane, right?
Yeah.
Have we decided on that?
I think he's one of those ones that I constantly second guess myself with, no matter how many times I look it up. Him and Manel Katz.
Yep.
I will never actually know how to say either of those two's names. I will look it up. I will get the correct pronunciation. I will say it correct on the show. And then the next time I will not remember.
It should be Cape, right? Is that what we're going with?
I like
it should
cape.
Be Manel Cape. Or Cape, yeah. See, because you're American. North Americans butcher everything, so that's why you just want to say Cape. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, it's
what's your last name really supposed to be?
I think it's Vreeland. There's a town just south of Amsterdam named Vreeland, so I'm assuming it comes from there.
Have you visited that town?
Yeah,
I did
on the way
to my town.
I did on the way up to Amsterdam from Belgium one time. So when I went, fairly fresh out of college, backpacked Europe, and I went from England to France to Belgium and up to the Netherlands. And on my way to Amsterdam, I went through Vreeland, and there is nothing to see.
Did you tell everyone that you're Vreeland, and did they care?
No, so because I was on my way to Amsterdam, I did not yet know that everybody in the Netherlands spoke fluent English, possibly better than I do. So I was, like, still petrified to try out the Dutch that I had kind of tried to teach myself. And then when I tried it out when I was in Amsterdam, I was like, oh, I could have talked with everybody in that town, and it wouldn't have been hard at all.
Yeah, I think that's the case pretty much everywhere, isn't it? If it's big enough.
Yeah,
everyone pretty much speaks English, so.
Everywhere except for France, of those four countries I went to, obviously England speaks, somewhat English, depending on where you are in England. And then, yeah, Belgium and the Netherlands, they basically, everybody there is like tri or quadrilingual.
Yeah, once you leave the Montreal area in Quebec, it gets a little iffy. I think they know how to speak English. They just want to stick it to the rest of the Canadians that they hate. They hate us Anglo-Canadians. But this is not a political podcast nor a linguistic podcast. This is a gambling on people fighting podcast. One of the fights Dan announced this fight last podcast, and it's already been canceled. So I blame Dan. I blame Dan for this, and it is Volkanovski versus Holloway Part 3. Like the day after they announced it, it was pretty much a day or day and a half after they announced it, Max Holloway pulled out of it due to an injury. So, like, did he not – is this just a weird coincidence, or did the UFC do what they like to do sometimes and they jump the gun and they just announce fights without actually telling the fighter that the fight is booked?
No, I don't think so, because, like – this wouldn't make a lot of sense for Max to turn down, right? Because obviously it's almost shocking that he gets a third title fight having not beaten Volk in either of the first two. And granted, at least the second one was close. The first one wasn't very close. But the second one was close. It's still kind of shocking he winds up with a third chance. In all of that. So I don't think there'd be a reason for him to turn it down. There certainly didn't seem to be a reason for Volkanovski to turn it down because he wants to fight again and seemed geared up to fight Max one more time. And so I don't think it's one of those instances. Plus, Holloway claimed that he re-aggravated an injury he had already had. That seems plausible, especially because he's had some issues with different things over the course of his career. So I think it's actually an injury being re-aggravated, but the timing is miserable because they just announced it to, like, really hype up that card. That card looked like it was going to be an absolute banger. It still looks great on paper, but, like, that is a huge blow because Volkanovski versus whatever replacement fits there maybe doesn't have quite the same kind of draw as Volkanovski Max 3 would. But then again, I actually think a lot of the people who are there as potential alternates for Max, and Volk seems in on fighting an alternate. It doesn't seem like he's going to pull out and wait for Max. I actually find those matches more stylistically interesting because I haven't seen him twice.
Yeah, exactly. No, I wasn't questioning whether Holloway was actually injured. It's just a lot of times they will announce a fight without confirming that the fighter is ready to go. That's the case. Maybe the timing of it surprised him, but nonetheless. Also, I blame your other husband, Shockwave Dave, because he was questioning on Twitter why they would make this fight for a third time. So he's getting his wish, and they're not making it, at least not now, for a third time. So who is going to step in and take this fight? It's Korean Zombie seems to be the leading candidate. Other people have thrown their hat in the ring, including Giga Chikaze, but he's fighting next week, and I don't think they want to mess up that fight card since he's the main event. Plus, Volkanovski apparently turned that down. So it seems like it's going to be Korean Zombie, does it not?
Yeah, Korean Zombie seems to make the most sense. So I would say, you know, Volkanovski took to Twitter and said that he was into the Korean Zombie fight. Korean Zombie's management has come out and said that Korean Zombie's interested in the fight and would be ready for it and would take it. That seems to be the two major hurdles usually to getting this fight to happen, the champ wanting it, a contender being ready on the UFC's time frame. You know, being good enough to sell, right? Korean Zombie's got tons of fans, so that's already a feather in his cap as well. The only thing I will say is I bet you the UFC waits at least a week before choosing who it is. Because if Giga goes in there and he head kicks Calvin Kattar into oblivion in like 30 seconds, what a coup would that be for the UFC to be like, do you think this guy's for real? Guess what? Now he's fighting Volkanovski. I could see them turning around and just doing that. And there's no rush to book Korean Zombie, right? That fight isn't supposed to happen until, is it March or April? Like, we're a couple months away regardless of that. So why rush to say it's Korean Zombie when you can wait 6 days and possibly have another really great option in Giga Chikadze? And then they can sort of take the temperature of, like, you know, what do you think fans want? The recency of the big win of Giga Chikadze, the longtime name value of Korean Zombie. Like, there's a lot of different ways that could go. So I think those are the two front runners. Anybody outside of those two, I think, are absolutely not an option at this point.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to rush, like you said. Hasn't stopped them before, though. And it is a little less than 2 months now until the fight is UFC 272 that we're speaking of on March the 5th, T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. They already have a Aljamain Sterling, Piotr Jan title unification fight on that card. So they got one title fight, but they, especially with smaller weight classes, they like to, or lighter weight classes, excuse me, they like to stack these cards with at least a couple title fights. So we get a lot of crummy fight night cards leading up to each pay-per-view. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, I imagine something will get booked for this. I'm not at all worried that, like, they're not going to find there's 80 people raising their hand and volunteering to do it. There's plenty of quality. I mean, like, even if like, say, Korean Zombie, I think he's actually training in Arizona, so this isn't even a logical worry. But, like, if he couldn't get a visa here to fight on time and Giga didn't come out of the Calvin Kattar fight unscathed, you still have Josh Emmett and Arnold Allen who are right there. You know, both of them have won at least four in a row. Josh Emmett's coming off a nice win over Danny Gay. Like, sure, are they, like, world beaters who I would schedule for a title fight if I wasn't up Schitt's Creek without a paddle? No, probably not. But, like, either one of them would work for right now.
How about you, Dan? Are you? You said you're at the gym this morning. Are you prepared to cut down to 145?
I would need to lose at least one of my legs.
Is that an issue?
Is there ever been a featherweight at like 6'3"?
With one leg?
No, I was going to say a featherweight at like 6'3". There's got to be one over some course of time that looked just absolutely sickly.
Probably. What's, what's his face? You know, the tall, skinny guy that fights in the UFC now. You know.
The tall, skinny guy.
The guy that's super, super, I can't remember if he's featherweight or what he is, though. There is a guy who is... Now I'm going to have to look it up, Dan, because that's what we do on this show. But a 6'3", 145-pounder would be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, because I'm thinking even of, like, Miguel Angel Torres, who looked like, for those of you who remember the WEC days, he looked, like, sickly all the time. And he fought at 45 and 30. He fought at 35 a little bit, too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
35 and 45. And he was only 5'9", and he looked sickly. So... Yeah, I can't imagine somebody at 6'3 probably would look pretty ghastly.
No, I'm looking at my spreadsheet. I don't think Sean Woodson. That's who I was thinking of.
He's pretty tall. Yeah.
He's pretty tall. I will be Wikipedia-ing.
He's 6'2". He's 6'2".
There you go.
So yeah, I would have to look like Sean Woodson, which. Yeah, I don't currently, so.
Okay. Well, there you go. Keep going to the gym. You never know, right?
That's right. You got to up the cardio.
You better. You got to up it a lot. All right. That's enough goofing around, guys and gals, because this one's for the – but we got to break down some fights. First, WynnBET. I got to tell you about WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WynnBET has a brand new bonus. Bet $5, win $400 in free bets. And you can win a trip, VIP trip, to Shaq's Funhouse in L.A. And I think we determined this is actually Shaquille O'Neal, did we not?
Yes, I believe we properly identified this as being Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay, no one else has a fun house, but yeah, bet $20 on WynnBET's build your own bet feature and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. You and three guests will receive a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse, two nights at Wynn Las Vegas, and a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook, and, if that's not enough, a $5,000 travel credit. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. For booster parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. And also make sure you visit PropSwap, because we are brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. The NFL playoffs and college football championship are right around the corner, and PropSwap has the best odds on all football futures. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high, submit a bid for a price you think is fair, and then buy it. You can always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors just like yourself. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and a PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double cash means double the odds. Sellers cross country list their sports bets for sale, and thousands of buyers visit PropSwap every day to find the best odds on futures, props, and parlays. This week, Derek from Colorado purchased a Georgia College Football Championship ticket on PropSwap at odds of -120, a huge discount compared to the sportsbooks who currently have the Bulldogs at -150. If you're not using PropSwap, then you are missing out. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Dan says, buy futures on the Dallas Cowboys. Do they have a playoff opponent lined up?
Unless some things go very weirdly as we record right now, it looks like they're going to play the Cardinals, who they lost to just a couple of weeks ago. So, not the best playoff matchup, but they look pretty good Saturday night against the Eagles. Although there are a bunch of replacements in that game, but they did score 51. So, it's Cowboys and Bulls. Always look for future bets on the Bulls too.
Bulls, number one team in the Eastern Conference currently, is the Chicago Bulls.
By multiple games.
Yes. Yeah. And the Phoenix Suns are finally first again in the, even though they did not play well last night, they are first in the West.
They're on a collision course. It's going to happen. We're going to have to record some of these shows with like a basketball tinge to them when the NBA Finals come around.
I thought you were going to say live from the NBA Finals. We're going to have to record some news because maybe that can happen. Bosses, we gave the boss some winning picks last podcast, so Sean can spring for a trip to Chicago and Phoenix. We'll go to both. I'm not picky. We'll go to every game. All right. I don't think we'll have time to get to Kansas City, Kansas, to the PAL KC venue for Wednesday's Invicta FC 45. Zapatella versus Del Boni 2, unfortunately, but it is free on YouTube for everyone to watch starting at 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. So that's a bonus. Have you seen Invicta live ever?
I have never seen Invicta live, but mostly that's because they're in the Midwest. Also, is the PAL KC, is that the fight church? Am I remembering this right?
I'm going to Google it. But yeah, Police Athletic League of Kansas City. So probably. Oh, I that's what PAL stands for us, right?
Yeah, but I think that's the old abandoned church where they now have fights in. Which, by the way, if you've never seen an Invicta card, if you're one of these people listening who's like a degenerate UFC gambler and maybe dabbles with Bellator, watch Invicta, because not only are there going to be some sick fights, but like they're literally, if I'm thinking of the right arena, they're having these fights in a church, which is just awesome.
Yeah, I see a story about this 128-year-old church that's become a boxing gym. I'm not sure this is the same spot or not, but yeah, they always are. Looks like it is the same spot, I think.
Yeah.
It mentions the Police Athletic League in the article. So, yeah. Yeah, they're always – I guess they've been – they were in Vegas a few years ago when they were piggybacking off UFC Fight Week, but usually it's always Kansas City, right?
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff in Kansas City. I want to say they've moved around, if I remember correctly, in some of those, like, Midwestern-y towns. But, like, yeah, it's always in one of those couple of places. So, I highly suggest it. I think it's always a good time watching Invicta fights. And now they're super easy to watch because they're on YouTube. So just watch them on YouTube.
Yep. Exactly. YouTube for free. Only six fights, which is also a bonus if you don't want to have your whole night taken up, because you know Wednesday night's party night, obviously. Enclosure, it's in a cage, Dan, it says, according to
well, thank God.
Apology. Yes. All right. As we always do, we will start from the bottom to the top. We started at the bottom, now we're here. We'll start with flyweight Helen Peralta versus Elise Poney. We just decided that's her name, right?
Elise Pone.
No, whatever. Elise Pone is what the American says. All right. Her nickname is The Peace. She's got one fight, one knockout. And that was in Invicta. It was via TKO her last fight, her debut. 7 inches taller than Peralta, 5 inches of reach. So she is much bigger in the much bigger fight here. But she's at plus 425 if you want to get in on that. Peralta in Iansana is her nickname or something like Iansa. Do you know anything about that? Yansa probably is how you say it.
I don't know anything about that nickname.
Do you know? I forgot to ask. You know about all the women on this fight card?
Yeah, I do. The only one who I hadn't been particularly familiar with going in was Pone, because she
Pone.
Just had it's Pone. Just had one Invicta fight leading in. I did know about her ahead of time that she was a Muay Thai fighter, which I'll talk about in a second. But the rest of them I had all seen at some point in time and knew something about.
And in the red corner, a Muay Thai fighter is what they say. Elise Pone. And I'll be like, yes, I knew it.
It will definitely be Pone.
It will be. All right.
Also, Iansa is the goddess of wind, lightning, and magic.
Oh, look out. Look out, Elise Pone. You are in trouble. You're going to have all those elements coming at you from Peralta in the cage. All right, Peralta's 4-2. She's got one knockout. She's 4-1 in Invicta, won her last fight. She used to fight down at strawweight. This one is at flyweight. She also bare-knuckle boxes, where she BKFC, where she is 2-0 in there, undefeated. She's 3 years younger than Elise Pone, and she's at minus 535. Do you like the numbers here?
I mean,
the biggest one on the card.
whoever likes minus 535?
No,
right? Nobody ever.
Are they fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I'm obviously going with Hedlund Peralta here. Look, I like what I've seen out of Pone. Like, I think she, her Muay Thai style is really fun. She has her hands up way high, which is a benefit to some of the, sometimes you see Muay Thai fighters whose hands come down a little bit, and it's like kind of dangerous in MMA because they're worried about the takedowns, and then they don't get the benefit of having their hands way up, and they don't get the stuff takedowns. It's like this weird in-between zone, but hers are way up. I think the problem here is that Peralta is infinitely more aggressive. She hits infinitely more hard. You know, you mentioned Pone's debut. She won by TKO. She like got her opponent back against the cage, and her opponent just kind of like shelled up. It wasn't necessarily that she like stunned her or hit her real hard and had her wobbly or anything. Like, she just shelled up and then just never defended herself again. Whereas Peralta like will put people out. She like sits down on her punches really well. She's a great counter puncher. She's going to be so much stronger here. I think she's going to be so much more active. I just can't imagine Pone winning this fight in any way other than like she just throws a ton of kicks and tries to stay away from any punching exchanges, and I don't think she's going to do that. So, yeah, I like Peralta here. I don't see a whole lot of props for this listed anywhere, but if I was looking for a prop here to make this one a little bit more interesting, Peralta by finish would not be out of the question. Cause she, like I said, she does hit like a truck.
There you go. And she has all those, the control of all the elements, too, that you mentioned earlier.
Wind That's right.
And rain and lightning and whatnot, so... That's got to help. I don't know how fair that is, but maybe in Kansas they let those things fly. I'm not sure about that commission. All right, moving on. We've got a Canadian, Nathan. Nathan. You're not Nathan, are you?
No, I'm not. We both have children named Nathan, though.
We do. He's in the room beside me. Here's an aside. We haven't had too many asides. It shows you how good a parent I am. We are. He bought a new Mario game for his Nintendo Switch like Friday after school, and he's already completed it. He's played it nonstop since then. So yeah, there you go. That's some good parodying. He's been in his room playing Mario for basically 48 hours straight. So that's how you do it, Dan. When you're Nathan's old enough, that's how you do it.
All right. I'll keep an eye on that.
Okay. But as I was saying, we have a Canadian fighting Katie Saul. She's not just a Canadian, she is Queen of the North. Did you know that she was Queen of the North, Dan?
I did know that, yeah.
Did you know we had a queen?
I heard it while I was rewatching one of her fights.
She is the Queen of the North, and she hails from, does she hail from anywhere near me? Manitoba. No, oh yeah, she's from Winnipeg. No, she is not near me. Where is Winnipeg in comparison to where I live in Ontario, Dan? Canadian city, it's been a while.
I'm going to say it's northeast.
Northwest would be the correct answer, Dan. And it's right beside us, but it's quite a trek. So there you go. All right. What can I tell you? Let's break down the fight, shall we? This is atomweight, which is what we want in the UFC, which we mention pretty much every episode. So thought I'd throw it out there again. So, all right, we got Batgirl, Tabitha Ann Watkins versus Queen of the North, Katie Saul. So we got like some kind of comic book battle here. And this is pretty much a pick'em fight on the boards currently. The last one was quite a lopsided matchup, at least according to the odds makers. This one, not so much. All right, let's break it down. We'll do Queen of the North first. She is Canadian, it says in my records here, which is important to know. She's 3-5 with one submission, 0-2 in Invicta. She's lost three straight fights. She used to fight upper weight class at strawweight. She's an inch taller and has an inch of reach over Batgirl Watkins. Watkins is 3-3 with two submissions. She's been knocked out herself twice. This is her Invicta debut. She went 0-1 in Ryzen, 0-1 in Bellator. She's also lost three straight fights, and she's not fought since August of 2019. I think she had a Invicta exhibition fight, like one round. I think probably was in a tournament, I believe.
Yeah, she was in the tournament for the strawweight title. She fought a headliner who we'll talk about in a little bit, Jessica Del Boni. So like in the grand
scheme, she hasn't really been out 2 years.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of that fight was in this past June. So granted it's only one round, which is kind of weird, but she was beaten pretty badly, but that's mostly because Jessica Del Boni's a beast.
So that would make it four straight losses, technically, even though that one does not count as an official fight because it wasn't scheduled for the full three rounds. She also used to fight up at strawweight. She's 7 years younger than Saul, and she's at minus 115. Not some stellar records here, Dan.
No, but I would say this, is that, like, mostly what I've seen out of Katie Saul, who I'm actually going to pick Katie Saul here. What I've seen out of Katie Saul is, like, a little bit of a difficulty in dealing with women who turn up the pressure and have, like, really good grappling. And she's also gotten really unlucky with a pair of split decisions. Back-to-back losses and split decisions to women who are 4-1 and 3-1 at the time of the fight. So, you know, they're now 4-1 and 5-1 after having beat her. So, like, she's fought really good women back-to-back. And in addition to being really good women, she's fought back-to-back. She fought them really closely. And the thing is I think her striking is infinitely better than Tabitha Watkins. Watkins is a little sloppy on the feet. I also think Watkins gets backed up far too easily. Like, if you look at most of her fights, she's mostly, like, throwing strikes, like, as she backpedals constantly until she gets to a clinch, which is when she's usually pretty good. She's actually not bad in the clinch, except for that fight against Jessica Del Boni. I don't think anybody looks good in the clinch against her. So, like, she backpedal, and then she'll, like, get in a clinch and be happy. I just don't think Katie Saul is going to engage her in that. Katie Saul is part of she was part of the Canadian national boxing team. So she's, like, got exceptional boxing. Her head moves well. She throws a jab out there. She's got a nice big left hand that she throws because she is a lefty. So, I like a lot of what I've seen out of Katie Saul. And getting her at a pick'em value here, I think this fight, it's definitely close, but I think it should favor her.
If Watkins gets backed up a lot, she should eat more fiber, Dan. Do you not think so?
Ha ha, hey, poop joke.
See, Dan does all the breakdowns for you there, and I...
And he just slides right in with a poop joke.
The only thing that stood out of that breakdown was, hey, here's a joke I can do once I get my chance. So I had to wait, though. You have to hand it to me. I did wait until I let it rip. But just... Let the record show that despite me, that's true. Despite me being the poop joke guy, I won the most money last year, or lost the least money actually last year, to be perfectly honest. And I had a better picking record than Dan, so I'm not just a funny guy, okay? Right, Dan?
That's sure.
Sure. I'm not even a funny guy, some might say. All right, moving on. So Dan's going with the Canadian, so you got it like that. Should I move on, or should I tell you about it? Let me tell you about a sponsor. We have amazing sponsors, and they deserve me. Advertising them. That's the word. Advertising them right after a poop joke. Better Fantasy. Fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way too. It's totally free to play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. Let's tell you about SoBet, too. Why not? Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app and is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. All right. Let's get some more winning picks for these people. Let's move up to bantamweight. Maria Jose Favela versus Sarah Kletska. Kletska, I think I believed. I decided it was. Kletska. Yes. That would be it. Where's my notes? Here are my notes. Did you know her nickname is Chucky? Did you know that, Dan?
Yeah. Do you know why? Have you seen a picture of her?
Yeah, she doesn't look like Chucky. Do you think she looks like Chucky?
Okay. So I don't know what picture you're looking at. Quickly go to Tapology and take a quick peek at the picture they have there. You can definitely see the Chucky eyes. Like it's.
Oh, yes,
it's there.
That's true. Scary. That's what every woman wants to be told that she looks like Chucky. So I'm sure she apparently
likes it enough that she's willing to make it her fight name.
It's true. She's leaning into it. And Favela's against Leona, just like that disgraced champion of the UFC, Amanda. No, is she Leona? She's Leona too. Also, is she not? Amanda Nunez.
Think so? Is that just the Spanish or Portuguese word for lion?
Yeah, I think it might be. She's Mayo Leona. What does that mean? Major lion or something?
Yeah, big lion or the queen lion or something like that. Yeah, queen of the jungle kind of lion deal.
Got it. Okay, so we got Chucky versus a lion. Interesting. I think I would take Chucky in that. Cause Chucky's look at those eyes. All right, the Chucky we're speaking of here is 2-3 with one submission. She's never been finished in a fight. 1-2 in Evicta. She's also lost 3 straight fights. So it's just like our last fight that we broke down. She has lost 3 straight as well. She's at plus 280. The Lion, Favela, 2-1, one submission. Never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in Evicta. That was her only career loss up to that point, which was her last fight. She used to fight at flyweight. She's an inch taller, has an inch of reach, and she's at minus 350.
Yeah, that's 1,000% the right line. And as a matter of fact, it's probably not even high enough. I know I said back before, I didn't like the negative 550 line on Helen Peralta. I actually think Favela's line at negative 350 is playable on its own, even if you don't want to pair it with anything or look for a prop. She's going to murder this girl. Chucky doesn't stand a chance here against Favela because Favela has got really clean striking. She moves very well. And until it hits the mat, Kletska doesn't look like she knows what she's doing. She looks like she's lost out there. So I think Favela is just absolutely going to style on her any way she wants. And for what it's worth, like the only loss I've seen out of Favela, because I know 2-1 doesn't exactly inspire confidence, especially when you're laying money on that. She fought Josie Storts, who is like a hot prospect in her own right. She's 3-0, and she's like a damn good wrestler. She trains out of Jackson Wink, and like was a good up and comer on the regionals or the Andy circuit before she became a pro. And Favela also good amateur record as well. I think I have a lot of faith in her. I think she's like an actual prospect, whereas it looks like she's been brought in a lamb here to slaughter. So I think she's going to steamroll Kletska. And I actually would say if there was a bet on this card that I like the best, it's probably her, even at negative 350.
Wow. You are very, very all in on Favela, are you?
Yeah, I think she's and there's actually one other pick that I like quite a bit more. That one is definitely my favorite that we've talked about so far.
Oh, see, you're already changing, Dan. You said it was your favorite right away.
Yeah, then I remembered there's one I really like later, so I had to backtrack a little
Could
bit.
Could it be the next fight, possibly, at featherweight? Courtney King versus Ramona Pascual? I don't think it is. I'm guessing it's not.
It's not.
Because you didn't say, yep, that's the one. All right. Oh, Courtney King's a lion. Oh, she should be fighting the other lion. I guess they stick together, maybe.
But it's Pascual Courtney the Lion King. Hey.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Hey, good nickname. All right, this is another pick M fight on the board. We'll tell you about the Lion King first. 4-2, one knockout, 2 submissions. Both of her losses come via knockout. 1-2 in Invicta. November 20th was her last fight. November 2020 was her last fight. So we're talking over a year now. And that fight was a TKO loss. She's was the Fury FC champ. She's 2 inches taller than Pascual. 3 inches of reach, minus 105. Pascual, 5-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. This will be her Invicta debut. She's won 3 straight fights. She used to fight at bantamweight. This one is up at featherweight, and she's at minus 115. So you know Pascual, even though she hasn't fought in Invicta?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of her fights before. She fought for Icon, which is a company that winds up showing on Fight Pass. So I've seen one of her fights from there. She also was in Road FC. But I like the underdog here. I like Courtney King. You know, you mentioned she's coming off of a loss back in 2020. Did you happen to catch who that loss was to?
No. I can't remember who the loss was to.
Kayla Harrison. It was to Kayla Harrison. Yes. The very tough, maybe best lightweight in the world. In her test cut down to 145, they gave her Courtney King. She made the weight, looked pretty darn good at it. But I'll also say this. Courtney King stuffed a couple of takedowns in there, or at least one early one before they wound up clinching up and Kayla Harrison got the judo takedown. So, and then wound up getting very bloody. But the thing is that, like, I think Courtney King is going to get the type of fight she wants here, which is a fight on the feet. From what I've seen out of Ramona Pascual, like, first of all, she hadn't fought in 2 years, and then her comeback fight, which was, like I said, at Icon, which is on Fight Pass, was against a Mexican fighter who had never fought before, pro or amateur. So, like, you know, she doesn't have the best line of experience. And from what I've seen, too, I think her striking, especially when pressured, is a little bit sloppy. The only really good fighter on her record I could find was Janae Harding. And even Janae Harding maybe doesn't have the best record, but, you know, I recognize as being a pretty good fighter. Got a bunch of Bellator wins. And she just backed Ramona Pascual up as easily as she wanted to. I think Courtney King just being the more technical boxer here, and plus the fact that I'm getting plus money on her, or close to it, right? It's negative 105. I think I saw it at plus 100 somewhere. You know, if this is a close fight as far as the striking goes, I think King is a little bit better, and to get, you know, better money on it too. Yeah, I'm leaning that way.
There you go. I figured out what your bet is because you are a homer, Dan. And in the next fight, someone was on the Top Turtle podcast. Monica Franco was on the Top Turtle podcast.
They were. That's still not the fight I'm talking about, though.
Really?
Yeah.
She is fighting a bantamweight fight against Haley Cowan. So we're going to have to fade her since she was on Dan's other podcast. She's fearless. Obviously, she's fearless if she came on your podcast. She's fighting all hail Haley Cowan. Let's tell you about Fearless Franco first. 2-0 with one knockout, 1-0 in Invicta. She's been out of action since February of 2020. She used to fight down at flyweight. She's at plus 230. Haley Cowan, 5-2, two knockouts, one submission. Both of her losses have come via submission. This is her Invicta debut. She last fought September of 2020, which she lost that fight. She also used to fight down at flyweight. She's 8 years younger, 3 inches taller, 8 inches of reach, minus 260.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Haley Cowan. I do love Monica Franco. I think she poses some, like, weird threats to Haley Cowan, being that she's a Taekwondo black belt. She throws, like, spinning strikes and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if you watched her last fight, which, by the way, came off of a five-year layoff, which is a massive layoff, and now she's going to have another two-year layoff into this one. I think the worry here is that, like, if you watched her fight with Tina Pettigrew, Pettigrew got her up against the cage and, like, used this, like, grinding style and ultimately couldn't get her down all that long, which is what won Franco the fight, because Franco is a really talented striker. The problem is Haley Cowan is much more physical than Tina Pettigrew. She's much more better at getting in on the takedowns than Tina Pettigrew is. So, yeah, like, I actually think Cowan is, like, kind of an interesting prospect to keep an eye on in the future. The UFC might come calling at some point in time. She did just unfortunately lose a fight that she shouldn't lose in LFA to a replacement fighter, but I do think she's, like, destined for, like, pretty good things, whereas I think Franco, she's promising, but just, like, the long layoffs have kind of cost her, and ultimately I think she needs to work on her grappling before she's, like, the complete package that could go somewhere like that.
And she's got to stop talking to Dan on his podcast, because that, as we've shown in the past, usually isn't a recipe for success.
It's never good.
It's never a good thing talking to Dan. All right. I guess the main event must be the bet that he likes the most. We'll get to that in a sec first. SGPN. That's us. We have an app. We're now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. So make sure you download it. Plus, if you're hearing this before Monday night, we have a contest where you win $500. You can access this via the app. All right, DeGens, the College Football National Championship is on Monday night. And since we all know it's not a true playoff, SGPN is giving you an authentic college football playoff. We'll be simulating the games and doing play-by-play for the national championship on Monday at 4 p.m. on our YouTube channel. So make sure you find us on YouTube. How do you win your money is what you want to know. You can win $500 if you fill out a bracket by Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, so 4 Eastern. Just make sure you go into the SGPN app. Very top option on the drop-down menu is contest. Go in there. You can enter our contest, win $500. So, and it's coming directly out of the money Gumby gets paid for writing and doing the podcast. So that's another bonus. So if you want to take me out of Dan, off of Dan's table, then definitely make sure you enter that contest and win. But Dan's going to win lots of money with his main event pick because apparently it's his favorite pick of all. Oh, also, when you download our app, give us a review because we're amazing. All right, main event is a title fight rematch. It's for the Invicta FC Atomweight Championship. Champ Alicia Zapatella versus challenger Jessica Delboni. The champ won her belt in controversial fashion via split decision last time out. So they are running it back. And Zapatella, I saw today, she said this is her last cut down to atomweight because it's gotten too difficult for her. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. I will say, judging by her size and her build and also how she fights, I don't like her chances at strawweight.
She's 4'11".
Yeah, and with a reach that is, I think, only 5 foot. Like I think she barely has a 4'11" reach. Like, and not only that is like, here's the, you know, I don't want to get into breaking this down right away, but like, if you look at the way that she fights, she doesn't fight in a way where she can make up for that. Like she has good wrestling, so she can close the distance. Awesome. Cool. Like that'll work. But in that way, like you have to have things to do to close the distance, not just like bull rush forward and shoot a massive double leg. And that's most of her wrestling attempts are like super telegraphed. And like, if you go back and watch the first fight with Delboni, like she does exactly that. She like shoots takedowns that she has no business shooting. They get stuffed badly and Delboni puts it on her. I just don't think moving up to strawweight is going to make that better. If anything, it's going to make it way worse. So, I guess if her weight cut is hard and that's what she deems is the right move to do, then by all means do it. I just hope she's not doing it because the UFC doesn't have an atomweight division and is thinking she's, you know, UFC ready. Because, man, I don't see very many women strawweight fighters in the UFC that she would be right now.
Well, let's see if she's going to move up a weight class, having to abandon her title, or if she's actually going to lose her title. I think I know what way Dan's leaning. The champ, Alicia Zapatella, half pint, is actually the underdog going into this fight. She's 9-2 with one no contest. She's won 2 fights via submission. Never been finished in a fight. She's 6-1 in Invicta and is the current champ, as I said. She won 4 straight fights. She used to fight at strawweight. She's 2 years younger than Delboni, plus 155 coming back if you think the champ will retain. Delboni, 11-3 with 2 knockouts, 3-2 in Invicta. She's got loss, win, loss, win. Think of that, Dan. There's a pattern there, Dan, before we make your pick. She also used to fight at strawweight. 2 inches taller, 2 inches reach, so she's not exactly towering over Zapatella or has a massive reach over her, advantage over her. Minus 175. You like that number, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And as a matter of fact, if you listened to me a little while ago, I actually told you she was posted as a underdog when this fight was first posted. I think like plus 120, which is, just for anybody. Actually, I'm looking right now. According to Best Fight Odds, she's posted at plus 150. So maybe I told you when I saw plus 120.
Wow.
But, I mean, like, wild. She looks great. And she looks so good in the first fight with Zeptella. Stuff in the takedown. She's got better pressure. Her hands are infinitely better. Basically, Zapatella's method of victory here has to be Delboni has to make a mistake, get too close to her grappling, and then lose the grappling exchange, which I think even if she makes those mistakes, she can win the grappling exchanges like she did a couple of times last time out. So, yeah, like, I think this is Delboni's fight all the way. I think it's a pretty easy pick. And, yeah, I mean, like, you should have gotten it back when Delboni was plus 150, but I imagine the books are on a hook for a pretty bad loss if Delboni comes up with a win here.
Some big high rollers jumped on that number, apparently, and rammed it up into minus 135 is where it is now. So is there any props or parlays you like for this fight card or not?
So are there any? I haven't seen any props posted, but I'm going to keep an eye on when Helen Peralta by finish comes in, because if I want to play every single fight, Helen Peralta, you know, it's possible she'll get a finish there. It'll make the line look a little bit more interesting and things like that. But if I'm looking for a parlay to put together, I'd probably put Cowan and Favela together. You're going to get almost even money by doing that. And I think they're both probably pretty safe plays. I mean, like, you can throw Delboni in there if you want, but I like hers kind of on her its own, because I think that's a fight where, you know, you're just going to make a little bit of money anyway. So Favela and Cowan kind of make those bigger lines a little bit more interesting. So yeah, that might be my my parlay and my prop that I will keep an eye out for, depending on how the books work this one, is Peralta by finish.
Is there a fight that we should look forward to the most on this fight card?
As far as is fun to watch, I mean, like, I think all of them will be fun to watch in their own kind of way. I think in general, like, so it depends. Do you mean, like, in a back-and-forth way exciting, or do you mean highly skilled way, or do you mean, like, do you just love to see a fucking beatdown? Because Favela will be fun to watch if you
enjoy
it.
You're making it far too difficult, Dan.
Favela will be fun to watch if you like a beatdown, because I think she's probably, of all the people on the card, I actually think she has, like, the most upside as a potential, like, you know, UFC signing, going somewhere at some point in time. Maria Jose Favela is kind of that person for me. Other than that, like, I think, however, Cowan Franco winds up will be a very interesting fight, because you got somebody who's kind of like a bruiser and somebody who's a Taekwondo specialist. So that one's going to be weird style-wise, and I'm excited to watch Favela, because I think she's just kind of like one of those people who has a lot of promise, and it'll be interesting to see if she lives up to it.
You apparently have not seen the Child's Play movie. Friends, have you, Dan? You're saying Chucky's going to get destroyed?
Yeah, Chucky's going to get an axe right to the forehead.
Oh, ouch, from the lion. All right, so that's it for Invicta. Should be a fun night of fights on Wednesday, too, which is, hey, who can argue about a weeknight fight card? Did you do your homework, Dan?
Did I do my homework?
Yeah, you're gonna have to do a feature this week, this episode. You're not gonna do it now, are you? You forgot it again.
I can't remember what's my feature.
Oh my god, it's two episodes in a row now. You were gonna give us props, like over unders for the year, and whether we think it's gonna happen or not, that type of thing.
Yeah, I had like a couple of goofy ones for you that you could pick, and we could see whether or not you're good at guessing.
Okay, go do it.
All right, so this will be our space filler for the last 5 minutes. All right, so over or under 1.5 Conor McGregor fights?
Over or under 1.5? Under.
He's You're going to take under. One. All right, so same thing. Over or under 1.5 if Jake Paul MMA fights?
Under also.
You're going to take under on that? Well, okay.
MMA fight, over under. Yes. You're saying MMA or UFC? You're saying MMA, right?
I said MMA because he seems to be in talks with PFL. It seems like a real thing pretty soon. So how about I'm telling you, how about over or under a half of a Diaz fight, and it could be any Diaz.
Over.
You're going to take a Diaz fight in 2022, huh?
Yep.
Something. All right, so we're going to go, let's get one more in there. Over under 4.5 new champs.
How many did I pick? I could tell you actually.
Now I'm asking you to think about what you said.
I know exactly. No, I'll just go. People like when we count on this podcast, right? So I'll just go and count how many new champs. I picked Derek Lewis to be a champ. Remember that?
I do remember that pretty vividly.
All right, over 4.5. Let me see, Dan. I got Lewis. That's one. I got light heavy. I got Yuri. That's two. Bum 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 bum. I got Yan. That counts, right? Because he's only interim. So that's he's interim. He's not.
Yeah, champ. I thought you meant. I thought you meant Jan Blachowicz.
No, I'm sorry. No. Piotra. So that's three. Askarov. That one I'm not so sure about. That's four. Nunes getting her belt back. That's over. That's five, and then
take over.
Yeah, I'm taking over. Yeah, and then I think I'm at five actually. So I'm typing off new champs 4.5 over. All right, so I got Connor under 1.5 fights.
Jake Paul under 1.5 MMA fights, and then you took the over on half of a Diaz fight.
Yeah, it sounds like Nate and Dustin want to fight, but why would they claim the UFC doesn't want to do it? Why? It must be money.
The UFC doesn't want to pay Nate Diaz the amount of money Nate Diaz is looking to make. Because, so let's call a spade here, right? Like, Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier are not looking to just fight the third from the top fight on a pay-per-view card anytime soon, right? Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier want to headline a pay-per-view card, probably with pay-per-view points, or at least get a little share of the pay-per-view points as a co-main event. And probably want to talk you into making it a 5-round co-main event. So, not that the UFC wouldn't get good views off of that, but like they're not trying to give away pay-per-view revenue to those two for that because they could put pretty much anything as a co-main event, right? And it's gonna do almost as well as that would. You know, the Diaz rub helps a little bit, but does it help enough for what you're gonna lose in giving them both pay-per-view points?
Yeah, and it's always disingenuous when Dana White claims a fighter doesn't want to fight. It means
he doesn't want to fight for the amount we're offering
terms. Yep, and then then this is vice versa. They're claiming the UFC doesn't want them to fight, but they don't want to pay. It all comes down to money, as it always does. Would you pay $75 to watch them fight, Dan? Because that is the new price for UFC pay-per-views, $74.95 or whatever.
You know, that's a wild move. I can't believe they're going up with it again. Here's the thing I will say, though. I saw droves of people on Twitter saying, like, this is the final straw. And don't get me wrong. And don't get me wrong. If you had already hit the point where you're like, I'm not paying for this, I'm going to find a goofy ass way to bootleg it, or, you know, I know some illegal streams, or I have a VPN, or whatever you do to illegally stream. I
can you share?
I do. whatever you do to find illegal stuff, if you do that and you were already there, then this doesn't affect you, right? Because already the price hike, you wouldn't affect you. But if you're somebody who paid for every single pay-per-view over the course of a year, and that's something you regularly do, and there are 12 in a year and they went up by $5, I feel like $60 investment at the end of the day here is not murdering you. You know what I mean? Like, that it's going to cost you $60. It's basically like they upped the amount of pay-per-views from 12 to 13. And not for anything, they had a free pay-per-view last year in Abu Dhabi, right? So, like, it's just basically like they're retroactively asking you to pay for that pay-per-view.
Yep. Yeah, it's the third price increase since they've gone to ESPN Plus. And getting back to the Diaz, they don't want to have to pay Diaz. And that other guy, Poirier money, UFC gets paid a set amount basically from the Disney Corporation, from ESPN Plus. So they try to book super big pay-per-views. So I think they get over and above money if a pay-per-view sells a certain amount, but their money's guaranteed. So they're not under any pressure to stick these guys on a fight card and pay them enormous money because their money's set. It's guaranteed money.
Yeah, they're always going to make the flat rate for the fight nights anyway. I do think they get quite a big bonus off of the pay-per-views, although obviously we don't have the terms to anything. I'm sure they make droves of money there too. So not to mention ESPN's making money hand over fist just by being like, you want to watch UFC? Turns out you have to be in the ESPN business here because the only way we can watch it. And in addition to that, they also have exclusive rights to PFL. And now, Fight Pass has pretty much any other organization that's mostly worth watching, not called Bellator. So, seems like a dick move on the UFC after claiming they had the greatest financial year of all time. But at the end of the day, I think people who say that that's the breaking point, first of all, you either had the breaking point or you're really bad at math. That's sort of my take.
Yep. Very true. We're going to have our takes on a UFC fight card next episode, which will be dropping on Wednesday because we have a fight card coming up on Saturday. Fighters are dropping like flies off this card, though. We've lost three fights over the past few days. We're down to, I think there's 10 or 11 fights at this point.
There's 11, but one is supposedly getting a replacement, which would bring it back to 12.
Which one is that?
So Muslim Salikov, the fighter who you were sort of interested in seeing fight Michelle Pereira, and even thought about giving it to our boss man for a bet. He dropped out of that fight, and so Michelle Pereira is currently awaiting an opponent in last I heard, he was willing to fight just about anybody who they throw in front of him, because that's kind of his style, right? And he did that once already. It did backfire, and he lost to Tristan Connolly in bizarre fashion. But he's, like, ready to fight a replacement. So I think they're just looking to – I think at the current moment, they're looking to see if they can find somebody who's already under roster that they could just throw in there. Somebody like a Max Griffin or something like that who would be willing to throw down. But at the same time – I think they're willing to fill in with anybody because he is kind of like a lot of fun to watch. So I think they're trying to get him on that card still, and that would bring it back to 12. Six main card fights and six prelims.
Well, I hope they hurry up and name someone so I can do the proper research for it before we make our picks on Wednesday. So get on that UFC. I'll bid you farewell until that Wednesday episode. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you are jumping all over Dan's picks. He gave you some underdogs and stuff too for Invicta. So definitely get on that before the lines get crazy. Read all our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and MMA-manifesto.com, where the pick'em contest will return. Since UFC is back, I will have a pick'em contest running for it for this week. And you can listen to Dan's other podcasts if you choose, Top Turtle MMA podcast and the Prelim Primer.
You got it. And it will be back this week.
Hooray. Dan gets to pick prelim fights and prime us for them. So, and we'll be back in your ears, like I said, Wednesday with picks for UFC Fight Night / UFC on ESPN. Cater versus Chikaze. Take us home, Dan.
Hi, I'm Dana Gubby-Breeland. He is, Hobocop, Jeff Fox, and we'll catch you on Wednesday.